Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits, for he forgiveth your iniquities and he healeth all your diseases. Hey, Kelly. Good to see you. The Lord has already visited us here today. If we didn't do anything else, we would already know that we've been in his presence. Do I get a witness on that? God's good. There's some really neat things that I'd like to try to wrap all up. And when I get in a predicament like I'm in just a few moments ago, where the Spirit is moving and the music is playing and the hearts are caught up, I start thinking about this and this, and I want to say this, and I want to go here with this, and I'm thinking, Pastor, do you ever do that, or you got it all together, don't you? You don't ever get all bumfuddled once in a while. He knows what I'm feeling right now. I got an idea when he started telling me. He was so excited a few moments ago whenever we met. He started telling me about this missions month. And he started telling me about Rick Collins starting it off. And I thought, oh, Lord, I've got to follow that. See, when I was a little boy, Rick Collins and his brother Randy, they were kind of like the heroes of the faith whenever, from my generation. And I looked at those guys like they were some kind of superheroes in ministry. Rick was pastoring a church, and Randy went over to Egypt, and he was one of our beloved missionaries. And in fact, if there's anything that I like to do is maybe whenever I get done with my time as a missionary, I can say I measured up to Randy. You know, because I still see him as one of those trailblazers that went into some very tough situations and was able to share the gospel. And I thought back as I was thinking about what would I say? How am I going to introduce myself? Thought about my high school years when I thought I was going to be a missionary to somewhere over in the African, Portugal, French-speaking part of the world. I even took 2 years of French. And about all I knew how to say was a little phrase. I'm not going to try to say it now. I'll say it in English. Basically, it boiled down to, Wayne, sit down, shut up. I learned that part in French. That's about all I learned. When my son was born, it wasn't but just a few weeks after that, I got in a vehicle and we made our way to the airport and flew to Central America. And I thought, well, maybe this is where I'm going. No, God had a different plan. And through a course of events, and we're going to share some of those events just a little bit later on with you, the Lord had a purpose for a mission field that was developing right here in the United States. See, what I've learned over the course of my career as a missionary is you don't have to go 2,000 or 3,000 miles to a foreign land and eat bugs and sleep on the floor. You can do that in the United States. You can deal with people in the United States that are doing things like that. So the Lord just kind of moved my life around and took me through some areas and down some rivers and over some mountains and through some valleys. And I found myself being a missionary right here in South Carolina to a group of people that this world many times delegates as rejects. Individuals that is not counted as anything. I remember one particular individual early in my ministry. He referred to drug addicts and drug dealers as somebody that just needs to be shot. And somewhere or another, that took a piercing inside of me that says, no, that's not the way we're going to go with this thing. God has a different plan. And because of examples like Rick Collins and Randy Collins and a host of other missionaries before them and after them, I'm in an honored and privileged position to stand here with you today and talk about the mission field that we are in, Teen Challenge. Of course, we've made some changes on the very first slide that he put up. You saw the word adult had been injected in that, and it's taken me a couple of years. I'm getting pretty good with it now. I can say adult and teen challenge, and I can even answer the phone that way. But boy, I had to reprogram about 30 years of answering the phone, just teen challenge. So the Lord's blessed us. We've been able to broaden our scope to reach out to many, many individuals that Maybe without the name adult on it, they thought maybe it wasn't for them. But this word here says that he came that all find forgiveness. He came that all find salvation. So the Teen Challenge Ministry's done really, really good. We got up this morning. In fact, I don't know what's going on with my mind. Maybe the older I get, but when I set my alarm clock, for whatever time I set it, my brain seems to wake up about 10 to 15 minutes before it's time to go off. Anybody else have that happen? That can be a good thing, you know. This morning it was, because I knew I couldn't be late. I knew I had about a three-hour ride to get you guys, to get our students here. So early around 3:45, 4 o'clock this morning, I'm bouncing out of the bed, getting ready to make the ride. And I get down to the complex, I get down to the campus, and there's the lights are on in the on the front porch of the activity center or the office, and the building's there. You've heard the stories. Some of you have seen the stories, and even we've got some guests here this morning that helped in the construction of the administration building and the activity center. That's the administration building you're looking at there, the activity center, where the guys spend a good part of their day learning the Word of God, recreation, relationship building, our meals and all of that. And then I looked over whenever I pulled into the campus, and the dorm looked very dark. And my heart kind of dropped. I think, did their alarm clocks not go off? I realized they were already in the kitchen. They were eating. So where's the surprise there, right? But what we'd like to do, you could have all kind of missionary calls. In other words, the calling of God upon your life. You could have all kinds of property, and the Lord's blessed us with a lot of acreage. I'm just kind of glad it's not all cleared off so we don't have to cut all of it. I don't think I could cut 45 acres in one day. Well, we might could get enough push mowers. We could make a dent on it. They asked me one time, how come we can't have a riding lawnmower? Nah, I kind of like to see all those push mowers going back and forth and back and forth. I found out I could buy a whole bunch of push mowers cheaper than I could keep one riding lawnmower going. The dormitory, all of those things, and the MAPS organizations that helped us to build that. The Dunnels are here. Wave at us. And one of my pastor friends that has been a hero of mine, Brother Gil Kenny. Wake him up. He said he's already been in one church service. He's going to sleep through this one. I'm not going to let it happen. Always good to have friends come with us and be in service and share. Because I found out a long time ago, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the staff for a moment. Somebody gave me a book called Fundraising. And I learned a little principle out of that book when it comes to missions is, I don't have to be a fundraiser anymore if I just make enough friends. That's why whenever I come in here and I'm shaking your hands and I'm looking at you, I want to know who you are, Irene. See there? Brother, hey, you got it. You're good. Now we're friends. And I got Bruce sitting next to you, Richard on the end down there. John showed up over here. He's one of our friends from way back. There you go. And it's good to have friends. And I can't have a ministry without a good, strong support. My wife has been with me now in May. In fact, Valentine's Day, we were trying to count up how many Valentine parties we'd been to. I think it's 47. On May the 30th, we will celebrate 45 years of marriage. She has been with me in ministry those years, and she's our secretary. Praise God for Karen. She said to tell everybody hello. And the beautiful thing about ministry, I can't say that I've ever always done everything right, but the next photograph is one of my things close to my heart, because my daughter has also joined us in ministry. She takes care of helping with payroll and accounting and media. And if you get one of our newsletters every month, you know that her hand has been on it, because she helped put the schedule in it and do the honors for the giving, and she edits it and prints it, and then our guys fold it up and ship out the newsletters. So Mandy's on our staff. Another person that's on our staff is Esther. I took a step of faith. Somebody told me, you got an all-men's program. How in the world are you going to hire a lady for a teacher? Well, I found this lady named Esther, And I went to prayer about it, and we began to talk to other people, and we just decided that Esther would be a really good addition to our program, and she's doing a good job with these guys. The first 4 months, they sat under her tutelage, and they learned the Bible in great detail. We love Esther. Another person is Tony. You'll be hearing from Anthony or Tony in a few moments. We're going to bring him up and let him share something personal. He pulled up in the parking lot. He said, I've been here 3 times now. He came in as a student, and now he's staff, and we're going to hear about that. And then I have another student or teacher named Stephen. He actually went through the Teen Challenge Ministry out Midwest and graduated from Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And he's come here as an intern working with us, so we're glad to have you, Stephen. Stand or wave at them so they know who you are. There you go. Now, I'm going to kind of go into a part of it that I go in on tiptoes sometimes because I like to take the guys' pictures on the first time I meet them. Because it's a whole lot of fun to take that picture and then 2 or 3 weeks later, we get to compare what's going on and Jesus looks really good on these guys, okay? So the next photograph is Zach. Zach is no longer with us because he graduated the first Saturday of February. And he went on, after being with us for a year, he has gone back to the Abbeville area and studying. And I understand that he's now doing some studies and preliminary enrollment to get into Bible college. I believe that the Word of God will change a person's life and direction. Amen? So that's Zach. Then I got another picture of a guy named Cliff. Now, Cliff, come on, make your way up here. Don't fall over that camera and kick it over or do anything like that. But Cliff is one. I learned real early, don't give him the microphone. No, I will. I'll give him the microphone. But how long have you been with us?
4 months.
4 months. Okay, I'm going to give you a shot, and you got to tell us about your family.
Okay, married. I'm 30 years old from Barnwell, South Carolina. Married with 2 boys. And childhood wasn't that bad. Mother loved me. Father cared for me. We had a good friendship between my father and I. Graduated 07. I skateboarded the whole time. Me and my friends, we just threw scarecrows in front of cars and stuff like that for fun. I didn't smoke, drink, do drugs. But after graduation, I got with the wrong crowd, started smoking, drinking, and caught a lot of charges. That got me in prison in 2010. 2011, I got wrecked, and 2012, I got married. Had 1 son, and you would think that'd make you straighten up a little bit. It didn't. She's a good Christian girl, woman. Her family's strict in the Bible study every night, church every Sunday. I'm married to her, so that's the better part of me, was her. She did a lot of praying. It got me where I'm at right now. I feel like I don't have to, Mom used to drag me to church, but now I look forward to going to churches like this. Y'all, every Sunday is what I look forward to, meeting new people, hearing different stories. I wanted to ask y'all a small favor. Today is my wife's birthday, and since we're on Facebook Live, I was wondering if y'all would like to just yell happy birthday, Victoria. Y'all do that for me? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday, Victoria. I love you.
Good job. You stayed up all night planning that one, didn't you? You thought about it. That's great. Families, putting families back together. That's an awesome, awesome thing that we get to see happen. And God's been good to us. Got another gentleman that I want to introduce to you. The next pitcher is going to be a fellow by the name of Chance. Chance, if I can walk down here for just a moment. I know you're struggling to keep that live. Chance, stand up a second. I'm going to introduce him. when we make choices in life, sometimes we go down roads that maybe we didn't plan, and Chance had served our country in the military. In fact, could I get all the veterans in here? If you're a veteran of any branch, male or female, if you'll stand, I want you to stand with Chance for a second. We want to honor you. Praise God. Friends, it's people like you to make it to where we can do what we do. And Chance served in Afghanistan, came back. He had been involved in some really tough spots. It led him down some dark roads. And now he's here at Teen Challenge. He told me this morning, seven months now. And he's now our cook. Praise God for a good cook. So, yeah, somebody told me one time you couldn't trust a skinny cook. So, now Dan, I'm not throwing off on you. Where's Dan at? Dan, he had some excellent goodies for us in the room when we got here this morning. Thank God for good cooks. But as we go on and we meet some of these guys, they come in from different parts of the state, sometimes different parts of the country. We move them in. We may not understand all their culture. We may not understand what they've been through. We might not understand, and I know we don't know what the future holds for them, but it's exciting to see some changes. And I have one by the name of Adam. I would like Adam to go ahead and make his way up here. Makes me nervous when they show up with their Bible. Yeah. All right. This is Adam.
Good morning, Rock Hill. Is this Rock Hill, right? All right. That's a rough picture. That was right out of jail, y'all. I'd like to start my testimony in a moment of prayer. If y'all will bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just pray that you would come into this room today, God. Guide me in my testimony, God. If there's somebody in this room that needs to hear it, let it touch their hearts. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. My name is Adam. I'm 40 years old, and I'm originally from Colorado. I moved to the Hilton Head Bluffton area in 2001, and pretty much from there, I started before then in high school and stuff, but I started, drinking and hanging out in the bars, using drugs. So 01 to 08, I'm going to kind of jump around here since I got quite a while. 01 to 08 was pretty much functioning alcoholic Adam, able to go to work, pulling through, doing things. In 08, two things happened. One, I had my first son, Hayden, which was obviously one of the best moments of my life. Number two, I went to the hospital and I was introduced to pain meds. So in that year, I was 28, and really from there, it was a spiral out of control. The next 4 years was obviously just got worse and worse. The family ended up figuring out that Adam has a problem, so they went ahead and said, well, let's go to the doctor and try to figure this thing out. So that's what I did, and the doctors put me on Suboxone, which was kind of when that stuff came out. And I rode that train for, another 4 years till about 2016. And really all that did for me was act as a crutch because I was always addicted to something. And I was still playing both sides of the street at that point. I'm not saying that doesn't work for everyone. It could, but for me, it did not. So really, from 2016 up until March of this last year, 2019, I'd really wrecked everything. Lost my family. I have two sons. I had one in 2014 as well. Can't leave him out. Hayden and Lincoln, which they're my world. But I lost the family, business, my cars, everything. I was running the streets homeless. And then I ended up in jail and sat there for about 4 months. When my parents came to visit me one night, and that very same night, a gentleman that was the assistant pastor at Praise Assembly in Beaufort ended up being there that same night. They struck up conversation, and he ended up, well, actually, another gentleman named Jay Turner in the church ended up coming to see me that next week. He got to know me, he got to know my case, my lawyer, and he just went to bat for me. I ended up getting out, and I got on a program called Drug Court. I wasn't out for 2 months, and I'd already violated twice. So now I'm sitting right back in jail, same jail cell, same faces that I'd seen a few months before that, and looking at doing 3 years. That was my suspended sentence. So once again, I'm actually going to my drug court hearing. They got me shackled, and I walked by all my peers that I was literally in drug court with, which was a humbling experience, to say the least. And who was in there but Jay Turner, and he again put Teen Challenge on the table. And thank God he knew Pastor. I mean, God's worked through so many people to get me here. In the past 4 months of my life, I'm surprised at how much I've changed. It's helping relationships. Actually, Sunday before last, we actually went back to Beaufort County, and my kids were there with their mother. My parents came. My brother was there. It was just very good to see all those smiling faces on me. Because I've done a lot of wreckage, man. I've destroyed a lot. And but I have nothing but good things to look forward to now. This place is amazing, y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. In verse 4 of Psalm 103 that I read earlier, it says, "He who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." Did you catch it that he's 40? A lot of times by the time we get to that age in the culture that we live in, life is over. But I got some really good news today that at 40 years of age, his life can be renewed and there's a future ahead for him. And for those boys, and I'll add in something that he left out this time. On the first visit that his boys got to come see him, Adam asked if he could take his oldest one in and talk to him about something, and he gave his life to the Lord. That's Evangelism 101. Now, one of the things, and you're going to share something, you're going to share with us on something that's a lot of fun. When we get a brand new student in the program, you wouldn't believe some of the stories that the older students tell the young one coming in. So we've got a lot of deer head and all kind of taxidermy stuff around our facility. I've heard stories they've told these new kids coming in that pastor's got cameras in all of those eyes. They say things like, "Pastor's here when he ain't here." And then they start blowing up this thing about, "We're going to go to church this weekend, and there'll be 1,000 people in the auditorium, and you got to get up and sing." Now that scares some of them to death. So we try to break it in easy. And I told you, you know, that we like to get pictures of them whenever we first meet them. And then there's a cleaning up process. And after they've been with us just a little while, we'll introduce them and let them talk. But today, let me just take the first step and helping to bring our newest member in that just came in Thursday. All right? On the screen, you've got a guy here named Tristan. And since it's very hard to see him from back there, Tristan, would you just stand up and say hello to this crowd? Thank you, buddy. Now, see all those horrible stories they told you about what I was going to do? Nah, that's next week. I will do one thing. All these guys, you know, we get these pictures of these first and before after. They asked me one time, they said, "Where's your before picture?" I got one. You got to click it one more. There it is. That's me. And that's all I got to say about that. No, We were at a carnival-type event one day with a church, and they had a guy there drawing. He said, "Come sit down, Pastor. I'll draw your picture." I looked at it. I said, "Does it really look like that?" Wow. But you know what? I want to turn it just to a little bit different thing. These are the newcomers that we've got coming in that have been here a little bit. They're kind of seasoned. I brought Tony's picture up a while ago, and I showed it to you like that. But Tony, will you come step up here with me a minute? And the next photograph is going to be one that is about 3 or 4 years old now, isn't it? Praise God. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to play back and forth. Yeah.
Okay. Amen to that.
I'm going to go back and forth with him because he's got a tremendous testimony. In fact, it's getting bigger and bigger every time he, you know, every week and month that goes around. You said that. I didn't say it. And so what I'm going to do is while he's giving his testimony, he's going to start off about that day when that picture was made, and then we're going to jump in and fill in some gaps. Okay.
Okay.
You go ahead.
On this particular day was 7 June. Was that? Okay. 7 June 2017. And at that day was I supposed to go to my probation officer and pay off my probation officer and get off drug court. I've been on drug court for 5 years. Okay. And I had to go to court to see the judge and all this and that. And when I went into the courtroom, the judge said, "Mr. Souter, I need you to do a urinalysis test, okay?" So I go in, do my urinalysis, and I come back out, and they ask the probation officer, you know, whether I passed or failed. And, of course, by the looks, you can tell I did not pass. And after 5 years going through this program, I paid my probation officer off. I'm thinking I'm getting to go home scot-free today. I'm a free man. Well, at that point in time, when the judge asked if my urinalysis was clean, and they said no, they put handcuffs on me right then and there, put me in a jury box, and made me sit right there. And I had to watch 20 of my peers graduate that day. Now, we have judges, lawyers, social workers, all these people there that are trying to help us, you know, change our lives around, okay? But it just hadn't worked for me, and I'll go back a little bit. But I've been through some secular programs that didn't help me on the way. Because all they wanted to do was replace it with other drugs like Suboxone or Subutex or methadone, or those type of medications. But the only way in my heart that I know is through Jesus Christ. I can't go any other way. That's the only way I can be saved.
You were living in Ohio, right?
Yes, I was in Ohio at that time, sir.
And Chris, he was in Ohio?
Chris was in Ohio, and at that time in 2017, he'd already left. Chris left in 2013. And he'd come down to South Carolina.
Okay. You know, and Chris had a girlfriend.
And she went to San Antonio Teen Challenge. That's what kind of started the whole process of
what
us.
What I heard was, Chris, go ahead and put the next click up of his son. There we go. Chris had this girlfriend named Stephanie. And Stephanie finally got tired of the lifestyle. And she says, "Look, I'm going to Teen Challenge. I'm going to get my life straight. If you want anything to do with me, you got to get straight." So she goes to Texas. Chris ends up in Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach, at a 30-day program that ended up being a scam. His life went upside down. And at that point, was it his mother? Who connected us at that point? Do you know who?
His mother had talked to you. And also, though, because Miss Stephanie, she went to Teen Challenge in San Antonio. There was a connection with the Teen Challenge at that point in time. And they got a hold of you.
Okay, click it one more time. Now, that's Stephanie in Texas.
That's Stephanie in Texas. That's my son. Well, after he went through the program in Georgetown, he went to Rearsburg, Pennsylvania. Then he went to San Antonio to be back with his wife. But at that point in time, they hadn't been married, and they had to date again. They had to do it the proper way. They had to go through the biblical terms of good dating, courting each other. But when they dated, they had to be escorted by somebody that had been married for a while. So they had to teach him how to be a couple again, you know, which is, I thought, was really neat. What I think was really neat process. But during that time, in 2016, they got married, okay? And they'd been together for about 9 years. And they got married in 2016, and 5 months later, they announced that she became pregnant, okay? And through all this time, 9 years, you know, being together, thank God she didn't get pregnant. Because they could not have handled it at that time, because there was drugs and there was, you know, just the lifestyle was not good for them. And so anyhow, in 2016, they get married, and 5 months later, she's pregnant. And about that time, it was November, when all this stuff was going on with me. And I just spent 5 months in jail in November, and they come up and got me.
They moved back to South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
They moved back to South Carolina, and her getting ready to have her baby, they get in the car and go to Ohio. And they find Daddy.
And they come pick me up. And I just gotten out of jail. And I'd been through secular programs, like I said, and I worked through the VA because I'm a veteran. But I knew that it wasn't working for me because I didn't, it wasn't replacing something. I needed my heart changed. I knew in my heart, but they weren't going to let me do that because it was a government facility. And I told them, I said, it's not working for me no more. I got to have Christ in my life. I got to change the internal spot in my heart that's missing, you know. I mean, it's not working. You guys are not helping me out here. I got to change it. And I knew then that God was changing my heart. So at that point in time, they come get me. They bring me down to Georgetown. And
that was what? That's been almost 3 years.
Three years ago.
Now, whenever we leave here today, this is my bus driver, okay? He's on staff. God bless you. Thank you. Right, wait a minute. There was another picture that was supposed to come up there. Let's get that. Let's get the rest of the picture up here. Who is this in this picture?
This is my son, Chris. Myself, and Stephanie. And my grandson, Sammy, okay? And he is now a minister, okay? And Stephanie, she's working for a insurance. I always want to say something else, insurance. But the beauty about this is, okay, is that the generational curse has stopped, and I'm the one that stopped it, okay? That little boy will never see me drunk, drugged up, or whatever, or his father, or his mother, and that's the blessing through Teen Challenge, and Christ has done for me.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. If I could use that for a springboard, and what I'd like to do as we look toward closing out the service today, I want to somehow link the goodness of the Lord, how He can restore, how He can put our feet on a path that we never anticipated. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to reach back because as close as we are to North Carolina, to the border here, it just kind of brought back a whole rushing of memories and thoughts that I've put together. And a few weeks ago, my wife and I went through some photos and we took some pictures out. And I want to show you some things that brought us to where we are. A living example of Psalm 103 because He has put our feet on a path. Ordered of God, sustained of God, driven of God, protected of God, blessed of God. It was 1979 when we arrived in North Carolina in a little town called Cherryville. Of course, that's not the way they say it there. They kind of lay their tongue down in the bottom of their mouth and they say Cherryville. Y'all been there, hadn't you? Cherryville. I thought they was talking about some kind of baby food. I didn't know. We ended up in Cherryville with two children, leaving South Carolina in not the happiest of ways. Sometimes in ministry, you get. I hear it. That's a sobriety check, guys. We ended up at this little church at First Assembly in Cherryville on Highway 150. Back years ago, there used to be hundreds of trucks running up and down the road, Carolina Freight. And you see all those, that was the town we were located in. Those trucks would run by our little church, and it was the really interesting thing because that was my very first church, and one of the first things that we got to do was to sign up with the Jimmy Swaggart Crusade whenever he would come to Charlotte and put on a big, that was back in the heyday of PTL and all of that going on there. And Jimmy Swaggart would come. And that photograph, I pulled it off the internet the other day and I thought to myself, that's so ironic because I was seated in the Coliseum on Independence Boulevard just about where the photographer would have taken that picture. Now, that's not the same picture from way back then, but that's how close I was to the piano. And as Jimmy Swaggart was playing the music and singing, and the anointing was resting heavy upon him and the audience, I just felt like the little kid in the candy store. That's one of our gospel heroes, and everybody loved Jimmy Swaggart. And at the end of the crusade on Saturday night, one of the neatest things happened. All of the pastors that were sitting on the stage was invited to come to the platform one by one and announce where our church was located and the service times, hoping that maybe we would glean somebody out of that crowd. Well, little did I know that sitting in that crowd was a lady named Helen. She was probably at that time in her 60s. Helen was the sweetest little thing. And she didn't get to meet us that Saturday night, but the Sunday morning after that, she showed up at our little church in Cherryville. She says, "I was in church last night in Charlotte, and I saw you, and I realized there's an Assembly of God church right around the corner from where I live." I said, "Well, that's cool." And I said, "What about your husband?" She said, "Oh, he's Sam. He don't go to church. He's just not the church kind. You'll meet him at some point." And so over the next few weeks period of time, we started a relationship meeting with Helen, and she would come to church, and it just seemed like she just absorbed right in. And then I found out that her husband had a trailer park, and Sam had been a bus driver in Charlotte. He'd had to retire at age 55 because of a heart attack. So he moved himself out to the country, out from Cherryville. And he bought cows, and he had a trailer park, and he was just living the dream of a country boy. He would go to the cow sales, and they would chew tobacco, and they would, him and his cousins and all. And I said to Helen one day, I said, "Helen, how can I get to know Sam?" She said, "Well, he's got that trailer park. He spends most of his time fixing up and buying appliances and furniture and moving people in and out." And I had a little light bulb come on that says, "You know what, Helen? I've got a brand new stove that I brought from South Carolina. It's in a storage unit. I wonder if Sam needs a stove for his trailer park." She said, "Well, ask him." So I went out and I found him. I said, "Sam, I've got this new stove that we just bought before we moved here, and I'd like to sell it for, I think it was $250 back then." And so he said, well, preacher, how about $200? He was a mean old cuss. He was tough. And I looked at him and I just, something down inside of me said, "My price, I'll deliver it." He said, "You drive a hard deal." I said, "Okay, I'll go get a truck. If you want it, I'll deliver it, $250. I brought it in, and he looked at it. Now, Sam had some flowery language. Can I just say that? He said things sometimes that was you don't say in church. He said, "You didn't tell me it was brand new." I said, "Sam, I told you it was just like brand new. We had just bought it." He said, "Okay." So he gave me the full amount of money. We put the stove at the trailer park, and we went in. My wife and I went in to see Helen, to visit, one of those pastoral visits. And Sam just went about his business. Probably, I figured he was out there taking care of his cows or something. And in a little bit, I heard a stomping on the back step and fumbling at the door. And Sam opens the door, and he's got two bags, two of them big old brown grocery bags full of fresh-cut beef. He walked in the house. He said, "Preacher, I'm sorry I tried to beat you down on that stove." He said, take this fresh meat. Feed your family." I said, "Whoa, pretty good deal." And we began to have this relationship. And I'm going to tell you now, you're never going to go anywhere in life without relationships. So I said to Helen, "How can we really get to know Sam?" She said, "Well, every Tuesday, him and Ray and Lewis, that's his cousins, every Tuesday they go to the cow sale up at Lawndale." I said, "Okay." Another little idea came into my mind, so I told my little boy, Brent. I said, "Put your cowboy boots on, son. We go into the cow sale with Sam." Now, if you've ever been to a cow sale, or maybe if you haven't been, this would not be a good time to start going. Because there's things goes on at the cow sale that you don't do in church. And little Brent, I remember, they got the whips, you know, where they bring the cows in, they put them through this little chute, and they want to make them turn around so all the guys can bid on them. So they see what they're buying. Well, by the time they get those cows stirred up, and they've been pinned up and traveling in a car or a trailer, they in a mess. That's all I got to say about it. My little boy looked at it and said, "That's nasty." I said, "It is, son." So we was sitting there with Sam and Lewis and Ray all day long with them spitting in their tobacco cups and bidding on cows. And we go home and we go to our house, and Sam goes into his house and he says, "Helen, if the preacher will go to the cow sale with me, I'm going to go to church with him." That started a relationship. He shows up at church, and after he had come to church a couple of weeks, and I could see he was starting to get interested, after church one day he said, "Preacher, we're going to go down to the Triple H. Get your family and get in the car. We're going out to eat." So we went down and we had a lovely meal. Next week we're at church, and my little Brent walks up to him and says, "Sam, we going to Triple H today?" He said, "Boy, your daddy put you up to that." We ate at Triple H a lot. Now, there was another part of the story. I'm leading all this to show you that in that scripture of Psalm 103, verse 4, "He forgives your iniquities. He healeth all your diseases." Sam had had an experience, because back before we ever met them, Helen had phlebitis. Helen was in a wheelchair. And somebody told her that if she would go to a church, a certain crusade in a certain town, she would get a miracle. She didn't understand it. She wasn't even a Christian, charismatic, or a Pentecostal at all. Somebody just told her she could get a healing. Sam took her in that wheelchair and pushed her into that Coliseum. And something happened that day that I can't explain, other than the fact that God showed up. And he healed Helen. 100% medically proven, she walked out of that Coliseum. And Sam pushed that wheelchair out, and he looked at me and he told me, "That preacher made a believer out of me." I left a blank spot right there. He began to come to church on a regular basis. On Easter morning, we had a place about a quarter of a mile up from the church. There was a Red Door liquor house. That's where they got your moonshine. Fella had owned it, had been a bachelor all of his life, and for some wonderful way, he found this lovely lady named Barbara, and they got married just before Easter. And I go to an Easter sunrise service in town, and all of the up-city-doo people is standing over here on one side, and here's Mr. Bootlegger over here with his new bride. And I walked over there to him, and I said, "Richard, where are you going to go to church today?" He said, "I guess we're going to go up to Forsyth County where Barbara's from." I said, No. "You don't have to go that far. There's a church right down the street, and you're welcome there." So here we are, Easter Sunday morning. Sam is in one pew, and in comes Richard the bootlegger in one pew. And then there's another fella comes in named Angel. He happened to be the town drunk. Sam called me over. He said, "Preacher, if the roof don't fall in today..." Sam bought in. But every Sunday that this crusade, and this preacher that had that crusade where Helen got healed, he would come to town one time a month and set up his crusade, and Helen and Sam would always go see him. And one Sunday morning, I told my wife, I said, "Well, Sam and Helen won't be here today. It's the crusade day down the street." Church had started. We had been about 10 minutes into the service, and the back door opened, and wide open, and there's Sam standing there in his suit with a big old grin on his face. He said, "Helen, We don't have to go all the way to that meeting. We got our own church. You want to talk about iniquities being forgiven? Sam bought in and he began to buy equipment for the church. And when we'd be singing off the wall, they called it singing off the wall with the scriptures. Sam was always there wanting to make sure that the church had what we needed. He became my Joshua, my Caleb. Every morning I would go to the pulpit at my church and there would be a glass of cold water on the pew or on the pulpit. I could count on Sam. Because he found out that there was a Jesus that forgave him of all his iniquities. There was one who healed his wife of all of her diseases. There was one who had an effect on his children. 10 years after we had left Cherryville, I got called back to do his funeral. And I put an empty glass on the corner of that pulpit. In memory of one that understood very well. Whenever we live in the blessings and in the fullness of God, there are benefits beyond description. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He will strengthen us. He will give us our youth back. And I see those pictures and I have those memories. It's just an awesome thing to understand that not only in Sam and Helen's life, but in the life of every individual in this church, from the pastor to the sound booth to the workers in the nursery to those workers with children, boys' programs, girls' programs, when we have so totally sold out to say, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Richard, I'm telling you, whenever we begin to live in that kind of existence, we can get up on the worst, cloudiest, messed up day in the world and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Whew. There are benefits to living on the good side. There are benefits from Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. God had gathered the nation of Israel together and He said, let's make the ground rules. Let's draw up the ground rules. I am the Lord your God, and Him only shall thou serve. I will have no other gods before me. Friends, right here at Faith Assembly today, in the middle of a huge missions convention, missions week, I don't have to tell you about missions. You guys have bought vehicles. You've empowered us to do things that we could not do on our own. Through the efforts of this church and other churches it's combined, this is one missionary that has not had to buy a vehicle since 1995. Whenever the Assemblies of God Speed the Light program says, we'll take care of our missionaries and we drive good vehicles so that we can make that trip to the hospital. We can make that trip to the courtroom. We can make that trip to the jailhouse. We can go here and there and across the state because God's people have been faithful. Forget not His benefits. I'm not here to take the glory as a missionary. I'm just here to say God's been really, really good to me. A little country plowboy from South Alabama somehow made it to the stage here at Faith Assembly. And I see other ministers that have gone on before. I see witnesses that have walked and showed us the way. I watched my dad in 70 years of ministry. When we laid his body to rest at the end of the last year, there was a reality that came over to me that says, you may be approaching retirement age, but we're not going to quit. I'm not going to move out from under the benefits. I'm not going to move out from under the joy of serving my Jesus. The one who took a cross on his back that had been beaten until he was unrecognizable. one who had his face, the beard had been plucked from his face. A crown of thorns had been cruelly pressed into his skin. And he took an old rugged cross, and he would crawl up an old hill called Golgotha so that you and I could live in the benefits of everything he's got for us. As missionaries with the Assemblies of God, we enjoy some awesome benefits. As friends with people across this state, we're rich in relationships. In friends that we've got here at Faith Assembly, we're rich. I thank God for the opportunity of living in the benefit of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I invite you to go all in? Can I invite you to sell out and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? One of the greatest joys of any missionary is to think that one day he's speaking to a crowd of people, and somebody in that crowd is going to hear that little voice that says, "I want you in my service." Oh, if I knew that those words were being seeded into somebody's heart today, I would leave here knowing that I've done my job, that I've encouraged somebody, that I've challenged somebody to live under the blessings of the benefits of missions and loving my Jesus. Pastor, there's no words to end this properly, so you just come right on up here. What I'd like to know is, when all of this emphasis is over, and of course you guys don't quit after 1 month. I know y'all do it year round. It's just what you are. You're a giver. You're a lover of men's soul. And I honor you for that. God bless you.
Brother Wayne, the honor is ours, and we all do this for God's glory, for God's kingdom. I'm so blessed and impressed by not only just the gentlemen that are here and the lives that are in the process of being changed and transformed by the power of God. The overarching theme is that Jesus changes lives, doesn't he? And it's not just you guys, but Brother Wayne, over the years we've seen multiple men come through the Teen Challenge ministry, and we've seen many of them here at Faith Assembly. Remember last week we talked about a seed fertilized is a seed forever changed. And that's what's happening with these gentlemen here. And I'm impressed too with leaving this challenge to all of us here today. I know I was challenged by this word. And Brother Wayne, as you shared about the gentleman, what was his name? The gentleman who owned the cows? Sam, you simply met him where he was and met him on his turf, and it just showed yourself to be caring and concerned. You validated and valued him as a human being. You didn't judge him. You loved on him right there where he was. And at that point, the Holy Spirit used you to lead him to the Lord. What a great story, but that can't just be your story. It could also be all of our stories. Who do we know that we can meet them where they are on their turf and be able to let the Holy Spirit use us to fertilize the seed of their heart? Because as the Holy Spirit touches their life, they'll never go back to where they were. You can't, the Bible says that God's word never returns void, right? You plant it, and something's going to happen. God's going to make sure of that, not you or me. And so as we go out from this place, our challenge really that has been placed with us today is that we are called into our harvest field. There's a lot of seeds out there that need to be fertilized. Needs to be germinated with the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is going to take place through you and through me. It will. It has to. That's God's plan. He has no plan B. We are plan A, and that's it. Through us, Christ through us touches lives. Through his Spirit, touching lives, meeting where they are. Amen? Amen. Thank you for that word. One thing you didn't say that you mentioned to me before service was Sam, who is a cattle. He raised cows, right? Yeah, come on now. You're sitting here. Oh, I forgot to say that. So you got to share it.
After Sam gave us that bag of meat, he had two children, so he would put up a cow for his boy, a cow for his daughter, and one for him and Helen, and one for the preacher. He would put those cows up every year, and he would raise them up to a certain size, and then he would slaughter them. He would always have me come out and say, pick out which one's yours. I would always, trying to be humble, I mean, really, and I would pick out the ugliest, the scroungiest, shaggiest looking one. And he, after about the third year, he said, how in the world? He said, every time you pick it out, it dresses out at a better percentage than any of the others. And so then he started having to call the veterinarian out because his cows were having twins and they were having difficulty. So every few days or weeks, he's having to call the veterinarian. Veterinarian says to him, Sam, said, you must have one good bull. He said, no, I just learned to take care of my preacher.
That's good.
And I guess leaving us with that, next, this coming Saturday, you must have one good... How do you close out a service when someone's... You must have one good bull out there. I don't... Slaughtering meat. Oh, God help us. This coming Saturday is our missions banquet. Next Sunday, we're having the African Children's Choir here. And also next Saturday night, of course, there'll be our special guest. And next Sunday morning, this stage is going to be transformed, and you're going to be so blessed by the ministry of the African Children's Choir. I hope you'll come and invite some friends to that. But next Sunday, is going to be our opportunities to either re-up or to make a decision for the first time of how we can partner together with Teen Challenge. We support Teen Challenge as well as 27 other missionaries, either locally or abroad, through this church. And that number continues to grow. And as we are faithful with our tithes and offerings, but also above and beyond that with our missions pledges, either re-up, because many of you have been supporting missions here at Faith Assembly for years, or maybe you've just started coming here to Faith Assembly over the last several months, but the Lord's been speaking to your heart as to what you can do to give $10, $20, $50 a month above and beyond your tithes and offerings to be part of this great move of the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide. Thank you for your faithful giving. Your cumulative giving helps us to be able to make a difference in all of these gentlemen's lives. Everything is connected to a soul. So as we give and we're ministering, we're giving our part to Teen Challenge, we see lives being changed and families being restored and Jesus saving people and bringing them to their destiny in Christ, and not the plan that Satan has for them, but the plan that God has for them being fulfilled. And that's our prayer for you, gentlemen. Would you guys stand up with me, just the gentleman from Teen Challenge, and could you come up? Sorry, I was trying to catch that before anyone else stood up. So, Nick, God bless you, brother. Hey, stand up here, Teen Challenge gentlemen, and just face, if you will, the crowd. And I would like to just, if you can, a little bit all across here, all the way across. Yeah, and I'd like the crowd, the congregation, to stand up, if you will. And if there's some gentlemen that would like to come up, I would love to ask you to come up right now and just lay your hands on these gentlemen as the Holy Spirit leads you. And let's make sure everybody has someone that they're praying over them. The rest of us, as I'm talking, gentlemen, come on down if you feel so led. And as the rest of us will, I want you to extend your hands out to them. God has a plan for each of these men. And that plan is for them to be able to have fertile spiritual wombs, that God will use them for His glory, that God's plans will be fulfilled in their lives. Would you pray over these gentlemen? And I'll lead in prayer, but join with me, if you will, right now as we close today. Father God, we extend our hands out and we extend our prayers out, Lord Jesus, to these gentlemen who are here. This is not a coincidence. It's not by chance that you've brought them from Colorado and from Ohio and from other places in this country. And you brought them to Georgetown. You brought them to the Adult and Teen Challenge ministry to bring them out of where they are, out of where they were, and into what you have for them. So, Father, as we come together right now and ask you, Lord Jesus, this request, that your plans and purposes will be accomplished in their lives, that whatever Satan would have tried to do to destroy them, to corrupt them, to kill them, those plans are thwarted. Those plans are futile. Those plans are laid to dust. Those plans are confused. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every man that is standing here today, Lord Jesus, that is part of this program, that your plans and purposes will be accomplished in their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you're redeeming everything that the enemy has tried to steal from them. We thank you, God, that you're redeeming families, that you're redeeming their children, that you're redeeming their wives, that you're redeeming their mothers and fathers and their brothers and sisters and other relationships. Lord God, that you're redeeming every situation in their lives, whatever it is that Satan would have for them, God, that you would in turn instead make your plans and purposes be accomplished. God, we pray that you would use each one of these men for your glory, that through them, that multiple dozens, hundreds, thousands of men and women will come to know you through their testimonies and through their ministry, through their giving, rolling up their sleeves and serving you, Lord Jesus, in their lives. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to watch over them. Protect them, I pray. Oh God, surround them with your guardian angels. Give them the discipline and the courage and the faith and the trust in you that they need to have, so that every day, Lord God, that they're waking up again saying, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to serve him. I'm going to rejoice in him. I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to trust him with everything in my life. Lord, let that be from this moment on a day that they'll look back on and say, God, I thank you that because I gave you my life, that I've been able to see these dozens of years in my life of me serving you. And as Wayne gave his testimony, we all have a testimony of the moment that we gave you our lives, Lord God, that you've taken us and you've used us in so many wonderful ways to make a difference for your kingdom. We pray that over these men today. And God, we thank you that you're going to use them for your glory. Now, Lord, for each one of us in this place, I pray that same prayer, that you would use us for your glory. God, that you would help us to go and meet people where they are and meet them or in their state of mind, in their state of heart, in their state of life. And God, that you would use us to reach out to them and to love on them, to plant us, to fertilize the seed that is in their heart, to plant that seed, Lord God, and that your Holy Spirit and that your word and that the truth of who you are will get in there and totally and completely and forever transform their lives for your glory. God, send us from this place as we've had church here today. We thank you, Lord God, now that we're going to go out and be the church from this place. Help us to make a difference in someone's life this week for your glory. And I pray, God, that you would give Teen Challenge favor. God, that you would continue to provide for their needs. Bring them the men that they need, the lives that need to be transformed. Be with Wayne. Be with his whole family, Lord God, all the workers that are there. And continue, Lord God, to give him favor. Bless him. Protect him and his family. Provide for their needs. Watch over them. We pray health over their bodies, health over their minds, health over their spirits, health over their relationship, health over their finances, health in every way, Lord God. And continue, Lord God, to just watch over them and give them traveling mercies as they travel back later on today. We thank you, Lord God, for Teen Challenge, for Wayne Powell, and for all of those that are here today. We pray, Lord God, your blessings over them. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said amen.